some of the text of Scripture that we read at Christmas time are very familiar to us. And so often, familiar Scripture, we miss the truth. We fail to see the depth of what God is trying to say to us in the passage of Scripture that we've read so often. And we gloss over things that actually are really important. And one of the great blessings that I was drilled in at college is context, context, context. When you take a scripture, make sure you understand its context. Its context at the time it was written. Its context in terms of other scripture around it. See how God has put together his word in such a way that he can emphasize to us vital truths. Now, we read tonight from Isaiah chapter 9, and I'll read it again. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now we read this passage and we think, well, Jesus is born. Ha, hooray! And we miss the vital context of all this. And hopefully over the last few weeks I've been emphasizing the significance of the days in which Jesus was born on earth. They were absolutely wicked times. If we consider today wicked in our nation, yes it is, there is increasing wickedness. Nothing quite like what was taking place in the Roman Empire and in Israel or in Judea during the reign of Herod the king. I think I've got some pictures there of maybe appropriate pictures of Herod the king. You know, he was a crafty, scheming. That's Herod and his son, who he suspects of treason, and he's, you know, he commanding his soldiers to go to Bethlehem and kill every boy born in that town 2 years and younger. He didn't care. He was ruthless. We haven't got a king like that ruling in Victoria. This was a time of darkness, a time of oppression, a time described here in Isaiah chapter 9, the people walking in darkness, who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. Well, if we consider God's character is the vital thing we need to understand when we come to the scriptures. The one thing the Bible is to teach us is about God. What is God like? How does he work? In Psalms, Psalm 103, we read an interesting verse there, which tells us about Moses and the people of Israel. And we learn in Psalm 103 that God, let me just find it here, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. Now, what he's saying there is that God made known how he works, his dealing, his ways to Moses, who was close to him, but the people who were not really close to him, they just saw what he did. God wants us to know his ways so that we can enter into engagement with him, understanding his ways. Now, this passage here in Isaiah chapter 9, it starts with this. But there will be no gloom. Well, that sounds wonderful. For her who was in anguish, the removal of gloom is for the person who has truly been in anguish. If you're not in anguish, don't expect your gloom to be removed. If you look all through the Bible, you will find fundamentally this truth everywhere in the scriptures. Without anguish, people do not discover the wonderful working of God. The people who lived in Egypt, the Israelites, they were in anguish and their cry ascended up to God. And he said to Moses there at the burning bush, "The cry of my people has come up to me. And I'm coming down to deliver them." The people who were in anguish, there'll be no gloom for them. Now notice at the end of this passage, we read the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Well, where do we discover the Lord of hosts? On the lips of Hannah in 1 Samuel. And what did Hannah experience? Was she in anguish? Let's just have a look at a picture of Hannah there in the temple there, with Eli observing her, looking drunk. That's right. It's sometimes good to have a visual. Weeping. In fact, she couldn't even express out of her mouth, but she was crying out to God in her heart. She was pouring out her soul before the Lord. She was in anguish. Was her gloom removed? You see, these are the ways of God. And if you look all through the New Testament, Bartimaeus by the road, is he in anguish? The woman who touched Jesus going through the crowd, let's have a little look at that picture. Well, there's Hannah, and of course she's rejoicing over Samuel. But if you come to the woman who for 12 years has had a flow of blood, she spent all of her resources on trying to be fixed. A woman who had suffered discharge of blood, came up behind him. Was she in anguish? Was her gloom removed? As she reached out to God in her anguish, well, the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9 took place for her. And you can look all through the scriptures. And on Friday night, I had some of the T4C leaders at my home for dinner, and we were talking away there, and I was reflecting on a time when I was truly, absolutely in anguish. And there, I had considered suicidal thoughts and all sorts of things like this. I was in anguish and crying out with my wife to God. We went on a trip from here to Cairns, and we were crying. Every day we were praying. And we end up in a church with three people that was built like a Masonic unit. And God speaks to us, absolutely, stay in the fire. Was my gloom removed? We were weeping. Kerry and I were just weeping. Because the person in anguish, the person who is genuine before God in anguish, will never fail for their gloom to be removed. There is not one person in the New Testament who's genuinely in anguish before Jesus who does not have their gloom removed. There'll be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former times, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea. The people who were living at the time when Jesus is born were in anguish. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Let's go to the picture of them there, Alison. Zechariah going up to the temple in his allotted moment of appointed, what's he going up to do? Offer incense, which is a symbol of prayer, ascending. And all the people outside, Luke tells us, were doing what? Were they just going, oh, well, Lord, please help us. Look, the oppression was absolutely thick there in Israel. Herod, what I just said before, and the Romans who were taxing them out of their livelihoods, they were oppressed. Now, what is God doing right now here? What is God doing right now? What is he doing? God is bringing anguish. God is bringing the darkness. He's allowing the darkness to come. And it's going to get thicker, friends. Because he's not going to come into action until he hears the cry of his people. And some people in the midst of the darkness are going to walk away. They're going to give up. Jesus said so. Many will fall away. But God never changes. His character is unchanging. And this passage here in Isaiah 9 is a powerful passage declaring his ways. Because it says at the end, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Now, who is the Lord of hosts? Hannah's God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, does that mean, oh, well, you know, God will just do this. You know, he's the zeal of the Lord of hosts. No, that zeal is stirred by people who cry out to him. The zeal of the Lord of hosts comes into action when people refuse to let go of this God and believe in his character and are desperate. That's when he acts. If you look, you know, later in this passage, it talks about, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. What is the day of Midian? The day of Midian is what Russell Robertson referred to in our board of management meeting. As he's sitting there on his first meeting, the first night, he says nothing throughout the meeting. And I think, well, Russell, are you going to participate? I said to him, would you like to pray? He said, I've been sitting here all night thinking of Gideon. The day of Midian is Gideon's story. What is happening there? The people were in anguish. Even Gideon himself is in a wine press, you know, beating out the grain because he's afraid of the powerful forces of Midian that are coming to wipe them out. And when God says, you know, that go in this might of yours and defeat Midian. Might of Gideon? Might of mine? Because he says, if God was with us, why is all this happening to us? God did not say he was with them. He said he was with you. Individually, singular. I am with you. Believe me. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The people who walked in darkness, is it getting darker, friends? You don't look very convinced. Is it getting darker? Come on, it's getting darker. A lot darker. My wife went to the ballet the other night with my daughter and they walked down halfway through it, full of witchcraft. That was not the state of our nation, you know, 40 years ago when I was growing up. Witchcraft was illegal. What is happening in public ceremonies when now the smoking ceremonies are just exercised over and over again as we take in the powers of darkness? And what does Paul tell us? We're not warring against flesh and blood. We're warring against principalities and powers and the world rulers of this present darkness. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. How does that light break through from heaven? Well, go back to Zechariah. Go back to the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Go back to the Old Testament, the latter prophets, Zechariah and Malachi, in 56 references in Zechariah. The name Jehovah Sabaoth is used. 25 in Malachi. The Old Testament, it ends with the cry that God is the Lord of hosts. And the New Testament starts with a man going into a temple, with Luke saying he's carefully recorded, taken great care to put down in writing how it all happened. This man went up to the temple to pray with the people outside, all praying. What happened? The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. God intervenes from heaven. An angel comes and breaks through. And what does he say to Zechariah? And remember this, 400 years, they haven't had a message from heaven. 400 years of darkness and silence. What is the first thing God says to his servant? Your prayer has been heard. Well, he says, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He hasn't changed. He's unchanging, the God we worship. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David over his kingdom, and to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. So we sit back and say, oh, well, he's going to make peace. Is that what we do? You know, yes, I know Jesus is on the throne. I know he's won the victory. And we can go on declaring all that. But he has told us to ask, to seek, to knock until he comes into action in our circumstances, with our darkness, with our anguish. That's what he said. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God does not change. And he is waiting to hear a cry from his people. And when he hears the cry of his people, who will not let him go. What about Jacob? You know, when Jacob comes to the brook at Kidron, and there his brother Esau is coming to meet him, is Jacob in anguish? He's trying to make up all sorts of gifts to give him to, you know, appease his anger and his wrath. But he's actually in anguish. In fact, he's so in anguish, he wrestles with God and won't let him go until he blesses him. Did God remove the gloom for Jacob? When he met Esau, what happened? Esau comes down with his 400 men and he comes running to him and throws his arms around him. What do you reckon Jacob was thinking then? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. But he tells us specifically his name here to remind us of the way he works. Hannah, the latter prophets of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament. If you want to go on, the book of Acts, as the people pray for 10 days before this Lord of hosts. And then when the Holy Spirit is poured out from heaven, do they stop praying? They pray more, not less, because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen.